sing with us.
Come into your presence to sing it. Come into your presence to praise. Enter his gates with thankful hearts. We are here to celebrate. All the heavens waiting. The power's here today. So we find hallelujah, lifting to ya, a mighty roar of praise. You deserve the highest praise that we can give the Lord. Lord, we give you our praise, that's what we came here for.
Come in your presence.
Come into your presence and sing it. Come into your presence with praise. Enter the gates with thankful hearts. We are here to celebrate. All of heaven's waiting. The power's here today. So we shout hallelujah, lift it to ya, a mighty roar of praise. You deserve the highest praise that we can give the Lord. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for.
Sing, you deserve that.
You deserve the highest praise that we can give the Lord. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. Everything that's in me reaches out to you. Your power, majesty, grace and mercy too. They'll be singing, dancing, hearts and voices raised. You set your people free, now the house is filled with praise. You deserve the highest praise that we can give the Lord. Lord, we give you our praise, that's what we came here for.
Once more, you deserve
it. You deserve the highest praise that we can give the Lord. Lord, we give you our praise. That's what we came here for. That's what we came here for.
Hi. Happy Wednesday to you. I'm glad that you're here. Smile real big. Bigger than that. I can't see you. The lights are in my eye. I need some glowing here. Some teeth. There it is. Larry, you're doing a fine, fine job. Let's pray together, then I'm going to unleash you to greet each other very, very quickly with a question. I don't know what the question is yet. I'll pray and figure it out. God will tell me. Here we go. Let's go. God, thank you for bringing us safely through another storm. We pray that you'd be with us as we are here today. To challenge, to stretch, to love, to enjoy, to be challenged, to be changed. Lord, bless this time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, look to the person right behind you and say, when the wind hit 65 miles an hour, I was... dot, dot, dot. Go ahead.
I was your wind you were passing.
Like our God, there is no rock like our God. Precious cornerstone, I stand on you alone. There is no rock like our God. Precious cornerstone, I stand on you alone. There is no rock like our God. Neither life nor death, nor any power can keep me from the love of Christ my Lord. precious cornerstone. I stand on you alone. There is no rock like us.
Sing, neither life nor death.
Neither life nor death, nor any power can keep me from the love of Christ my Lord. Nothing in this world can keep his love from me. There is no rock like God.
Now let's take this thing up. Sing strong.
There is no rock like our God.
There is no rock.
There is no rock like our God. Precious cornerstone, I stand on you alone. There is no rock like our God.
Sing, precious cornerstone.
Precious cornerstone. I stand on you alone. There is no rock like our God.
Well, it is bizarre, one, not to have church on Sunday morning. I did not know what to do with myself. Ask Gretchen. I was twitching the whole morning long. And then to have all of you guys here on Wednesday night, welcome. I hope that for some of you this becomes a trend. Wednesday night's when we let loose, get a little goofy. I'm not going to make you sing the truck song. And if you're not normally here on Wednesday nights, you don't know what that's about. But if you come week after, or in a couple weeks, because this is the week four of the rotation, we might make you privy. And Leanne's not going to make you sing the Fruit of the Spirit song, because that exhausts us all. But we're glad that you're here, and we hope that you consider joining us again for midweek celebration, and again for midweek celebration, and again for midweek celebration. You know, I will confess that this storm left me feeling vulnerable. There is something about watching wind whip through trees and pull branches down that makes you go, oh, I'm really small in this thing, ain't I? That tree could come down and there's not a thing I can do about it. That's scary news. But the good news is God's bigger than the trees. And God's bigger than the wind. God's bigger than the waves. God's even bigger than the roof, the hole that may or may not be in your roof. Our God is sufficient to carry us, to keep us. He loves us, passionate about us. And he's all that we need to become all that he's called us to be. So let's sing together enough. Well, all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirsting, every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough.
You are my supply, my breath of life, still more awesome than I know. You are my reward, worth living for, still more awesome than I know.
And all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirsting, every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than
my cup.
all of you is more than enough for all of me, for every thirsting, every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than
all of you.
It's more than enough for all of me, for every thirsting, every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than enough. Lord, all I have in you is more than enough. Lord, all I have in you is more than enough.
Sing once more. Sing, all of you is more than enough for all of me,
for every thirsting, every need, you satisfy me with your love, and all I have in you is more than
of my soul. You will stand against the foe. In the dark you'll be a light for me, O protector of my soul. O Holy Spirit, come, show the world where life comes from. May they always see you alive. Of the earth, guided me unto your throne, offered your healing hand to me, mercifully made me your own. O protector of my soul, you will stand against the foe. In the dark you'll be a light for me, O protector of my soul. You who created the ends of the earth, guided me unto your throne, offered your healing hand to me, mercifully made me your own. Sing, protector of my soul, you will stand against the foe. In the dark you'll be a light for me, O protector of my soul. In the dark you'll be a light for me, O protector of my soul. You be seated.
What have y'all been doing? How come you guys didn't come to church on Sunday? I got here early, opened the doors up. None of you showed up. Interesting weekend we had, if you didn't notice. We had a storm named Francis. Hence the shirt. For all you Gator fans in the house, this is the closest I'll ever get to wearing a Florida Gator shirt. You can buy these from the street vendors up and down the street. Don't pay full price. There's a negotiating room in there. So feel free to negotiate away and see who can come up with the cheapest shirt if you decide to pick one up. But we went through another storm. If you had told me 3 weeks ago when we talked about the storm that we would have done it again, I would have said, you're nuts. But now you've been through so many storms, you guys are storm crazy. You've had your fill. And one of the things that we found out is that after this storm, people have gone now through two, and they had what it took to get through both storms, but now kind of in the aftermath of it, you know there's another one kind of brewing out there, you're like, man, I don't want to do this anymore. It's almost like a depression has set in. I mean, we survived the storm, and that's good. So for a couple minutes tonight, just real quick, if you've got your Bibles, you can open them up. I want to talk to you about weathering tropical depression. We're going to look at 1 Kings 19. And in that passage, we're going to look at a hero of mine by the name of Elijah, who, great hero, great prophet of God, had done some amazing things. He had stared down prophets of Baal. He had been a powerful witness. He had stood all by himself on a mountainside, and God had taken care of him. And he had done everything that he needed to do, and he ought to be pumped up. But instead, someone threatens his life, and he runs. And in the aftermath of just being able to survive impossible odds, he's prone to a moment of depression, discouragement, and just feels disconnected. Now, if any of those words describe you right now, a little bit discouraged, a little bit depressed, a little bit disconnected, and you're already worried about Ivan that could be terrible out there, then listen to what this passage says, because it speaks volumes to us, and I really do think in it we're going to find some words that will help us as we cope with this thing that we're going to call tropical depression. Now, I'm going to start reading verse 5 in just a minute, but I want you to hear a very moving letter, though, about someone who was facing the storm we just went through, Francis. This is what a fellow by the name of Mike wrote. He said this: I know we're going to be apart very soon. For only the second time in our lives, we're going to be apart. Our separation after Hurricane Charlie seemed like an eternity, and yet, here we go again. I can't begin to explain to you how much I missed you then, and how much I'm going to miss you again in the ensuing days. Life without you is unbearable. I just thought you ought to know. Love, Mike. That was written by Mike Thomas. It was a letter he wrote to his air conditioner just before the storm hit. He is a writer for the Orlando Sentinel. He just said he couldn't get ready to do it all again. Some of you may have felt that way. I don't think I was as worried about the storm as I was about, okay, we're not going to have power. We're going to have to boil water. It's going to be hot. It's going to be sticky. It's going to be miserable. We'll be moving about like vagabonds looking for somewhere with lights and electricity. And just getting psyched up for that again is tough. Now, I hope by now a lot of you in the room have power. I don't. We have not come back online yet. And so there's just something about having to just endure it all again that is just overwhelming. And yet we come to a passage of Scripture where it reminded me of the old Greek saying. The Greek saying is this: you will break the bow if you always keep it under pressure. In other words, if you keep it under constant, relentless stress, you're finally going to break it. Some of you have felt that way over the storm. Some of you are wired in such a way that when storms come, you just really get tense. Some of you are wired in such a way that when these storms set in, you just get beside yourself. And the one we just went through, Francis, I got to tell you, it was nothing like Charlie to me. Charlie, it was interesting as a storm to me, but it went through so fast, and the aftermath of it was just awful because it took so long to get power up. Francis never ended. And that thing started, and then it's still there. And then it's still there. And then when you think it's over with, it's there again. And I don't know if you paid any attention to this, but last night in the state of Florida, the last band of that hurricane finally moved out of the state. And Frances just came and just kind of stayed for the holiday weekend. And she stayed, and she dumped rain, and she dumped, and there was wind, and it was awful. And every time you thought it was going to get better, and you thought, man, it's picking up, it picked up, but not in the way that you had hoped. Now, in 1 Kings 19, verses 5 through 8, we pick up Elijah's story, because Elijah has been running around doing a whole lot of things, and he's been on the run, and he's running for his life. And we come to verse 5. Then he lay down under a tree, and he fell asleep. And all at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. And he looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals, a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey's too much for you. So he got up and ate, and he drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And this is where we begin to pick up with what I think are some helps for us when tropical depression sets in. And so if you've been feeling like you've got the post-storm blues, or you're already panicked about another one that's not here yet, or you're trying to process it all, here are some things that God does for one of the heroes of the faith at a time in his life when he needed encouragement. Look at what happens. The first thing I want you to see is this, that God allows us a time of rest and a time of refreshment. So rest up. Elijah is on the run, and if you go back and you really look at the whole story, Elijah's whining to God. That's what's going on here. Elijah's whining to God. He thinks that he's been treated unfairly, and he's on the run, and he probably ran when he shouldn't have. But notice what God does here. We just read the verses. There's no sermon. There's no rebuke from God. There's no shame. There's no lightning bolt from heaven saying, get back on the job. You don't have it so bad. Elijah needed a moment to rest. And here's the exciting part about it. God knew it. And so what did God do? God made sure he had something to eat, something cool and refreshing to drink, and he gave him rest. I would venture to say that after the storm, one of the things that you need more than anything else is a moment to catch your breath and rest and relax. And this is it. Now, don't go to sleep now, but this is it. You right now are in the aftermath of the storm, and I know there's still a lot to do. Maybe you still have limbs. Maybe you don't have power. But you also have a chance to stop, catch your breath, and rest for just a minute. See, because exhaustion can make you do mental cartwheels. Most of you, when you get exhausted, you just get weird. And you, when you get weird, you say weird things, you do weird things. As a matter of fact, if you go to the website, there's an article on there called Storm Wackiness. And it talks about why people get so bonkers after the storm. But we do mental cartwheels sometimes, and fatigue will make your head play all sorts of tricks on you. And one of the things that you've got to remember is to take advantage of the opportunity that you get to rest. Now, I want you to know, one of the reasons that I'm resting right now is I got exhausted waiting for this storm to get here. I mean, did you see the coverage on this thing? I mean, for 9 days out, it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And then it stalled and quit moving. And then it goes down in history as one of the slowest moving storms ever to cross the planet. I was worn out by the time it got here. I found myself thinking, okay, if we're going to get hit, God, send it. Go ahead and send the storm. I mean, how many times in life have you been ready for the... Send the storm now, God. Now, I know some of you were that way. You told me you were. I was so tired of listening to weathermen telling me that the storm was coming. I was so tired of hearing the round-the-clock coverage. I was looking for anything on television besides the storm coverage. It was agony, waiting and waiting and waiting. If Noah had this much notice that the storm was coming, he could have built the entire Disney Cruise Line. We had time. Time. Somebody, I heard somebody say, I'm going to go back to the Midwest so I can face tornadoes again. And when they were asked why, they said, because at least with tornadoes, you get no warning. It hits, and boom, you pick up the pieces and you go on life. This is mental torture waiting for this storm to get here. At my house, we watched the movie Twister the night before the hurricane. We did. Ashley and I sat down and watched the movie Twister just to get ready. We were just so ready for a storm, we had to see something. George W. Bush once said, bring it on. Carly Simon sang, anticipation. Chairman Rich Crotty said, don't stand in water and grab a downed electrical power line. All those good advice. I think if you stand in water and grab a power line, that has something about eliminating in the gene pool anyway. That's a dumb thing to do. Don't do it. But one way or the other, you get to the point where you just want to do something. Leading up to the storm, the never-ending storm, all of it can leave you exhausted. You've got to take the time to rest up. Remember that. The second thing that I think the passage will show us here is that when tropical depression sets in, God does something else. God communicates with us wisely. So in other words, not only do you need to rest up, you need to listen up. 1 Kings 19:9 says this, and the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, this is important because of what God doesn't say. God doesn't look at him and say, what's wrong with you? Why are you feeling sorry for yourself? Snap out of it. God doesn't say that. Instead, he asks a question. What are you doing here? And Elijah lets loose, and if you read Elijah's answer, and if you got the passage there, you can look at it. Elijah just whines back to God. He whines back that he's being picked on. He whines back that he's the only one ever going through what he's going through. He's all by himself, and he whines and whines and whines. And then, in 1 Kings 19:10, we discover that he went to the cave and he spent the night, and God again, slowly but surely, began to speak to him and say, look, it's not silly, but I want you to do something, Elijah. And as you read the passage, you find an amazing sequence of events where he says to Elijah, I want you to come out of the cave. It's dark in the cave. I want you to come out and stand in the light. Stand on the mountain before me. This is going to be Elijah's place to be encouraged. And then God says, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Wind, earthquake, fire, rain, storm. Elijah's in the midst of it all. And then the storm subsided, and after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled the cloak over his face, and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave, and a voice said to him, what are you doing here? What are you doing here, Elijah? God drew him out of the cave, a massive display of nature, and when it was all over with, Elijah had come out of the cave of self-pity, despair, discouragement. And I really do believe that for us right now, in the aftermath of the storm, that God wants us to come out of that cave. Take a minute and come out of the cave. Step out of the house with no power. Step out of the house with a hole in the roof. Step out of your limb-trashed lawn. Step out of just the inconvenience of what we've had to go through. And look toward heaven and listen to the gentle breeze as God speaks to us. And you'll hear Him clearly. And if you continue on through the passage, God told him to go back and told him that some other things were going to happen. And reminded Elijah that it wasn't over, that he had a job to do. And he reminded him that he wasn't going to be by himself. And so Elijah had more of a journey to do. And you have more of a journey to be on. I know that there's another storm that's brewing out there, and I hope it doesn't come. And I'm like everybody else. I'm watching the track where it's going to. I want to know where it's going to go. But you know what? Right now, it's not here. And we've learned a lot. We're veterans of two huge storms. By the time this is over with, you guys are going to be able to brag about surviving the biggest natural disasters in U.S. history. Storm survivors. But there's one more thing that happens. And it happens for Elijah, and that's why you're here tonight. The third thing that happens in the midst of tropical depression that you have to do if you're going to weather tropical depression is this. Remember that God gives us company in the aftermath. So we need to live it up. 1 Kings 19:19-21 says this. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving 12 pair. And Elijah went up and threw his cloak around him. And Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I'll come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? And so Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen, slaughtered him, burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat, gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. In other words, after it was all said and done, Elijah had gone through his darkest days. God had come in that gentle breeze and said, we're not done yet. We got more to do. And then just because he knew that Elijah the prophet needed it, he gave him somebody that he could know was his friend, that would encourage him, that would help him in the journey. Elisha, who would one day take over. You certainly have companionship in the midst of the storm. One of the things I have been just thrilled about, again, is hearing and listening to the way that you have checked on one another, taken care of each other, and made sure that each other was okay. I've heard the stories that you told of what you did for your neighbors and how you helped your neighbors. I've listened to you guys talk about some of the things that happened and just how much you appreciated this person doing this or a neighbor that did this and how that you tried to make that happen. See, you don't have to go through this alone. And if you do, it's your own fault. You don't have to. God has given us one another to make sure that when it's all said and done, we're not alone. And we need to live it up. So what do you do? What do you do if there's another storm coming? And what's going to happen? You going to do anything to stop it? I'd like to see that. I, for one, am going back in my mind and remembering a sermon illustration I told you, and I've gone back to look at the research because, you know, a few years ago, there were some guys that took the material out and flew into a hurricane, and they seeded the cloud with this stuff, and it was like Jell-O, and they literally dissipated a small storm. And the federal government wouldn't give them the money for research. And I'm thinking, total up the billions of dollars we're spending here, give them the money. Let these guys fly out. I'd much rather get pelted with Jell-O. Because there's always room for Jell-O. That'd be a lot better than falling oak trees and flying limbs. I mean, sure, we'd look a little funny on Sunday with Jell-O in your hair, but it's okay. It's better than the alternative. But you can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about the next storm that comes. I can tell you this. You have an option. You can move. You can move to New York. You can go to New York State because it's a long way from here. Because, you know, every year, hurricanes are an annual probability. But I can also tell you that if you move to New York, zero temperatures are an annual guarantee. I will take the probability and take my chances dealing with the storms that come, taking the advice, preparing the best I can, and remembering that even in the midst of my tropical depression, God really is doing something absolutely amazing. Prepare the best you can. Hope for the best. And live every minute you get, because the storms really are out there. And God knows it. And He doesn't forget you in the midst of it. He really is the protector of your soul. Now, in just a second, Michael's going to sing that again, lead us in that last chorus of Protector of My Soul. And then we're going back about the business of the evening. Our students are going back to continue their event this evening, and they've been eating pizza, and they've been playing and sweating, and we actually had to take the covering off the fans because we forgot that Mr. Spaulding had locked them down, so when the hurricane came, the fan wouldn't blow open. And so the first hour, they got to experience the heat wave after the hurricane. We couldn't get any wind going through there, so it's cooler in there now. Adults, we're moving over into Planet Covenant. We're going to spend some time chatting, praying, talking about a couple things. Our Kickstarters will be going into their evening, and we'll be continuing on with midweek as we might normally do it. But tonight, we want to pause for just a moment. Let me pray with you, and let's sing, and then we'll be dismissed to the areas we need to go to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are the protector of our souls, and You protect us no matter what. And no matter what we face, no matter what comes along in our lives, You are there. Heavenly Father, just as You did for Elijah so many years ago, You still do the same for us today. You know exactly what we need. You give it to us in exactly the right way that we need it. And You take care of us, even in our darkest moments. Lord, I'm grateful for the folks who are here this evening because they are storm survivors once again. And Heavenly Father, You have taken care of us. And You've allowed us to be here to celebrate for a few minutes together. I would ask that as we continue our time together this evening, that You would make it a good time. That You would make it a time where we could reconnect with one another. And also reconnect with You. Lord, remind us of that precious gift that we have of anchoring to You in a storm. And help us never to take that for granted, we pray. In Your holy name, amen.
For in the dark You will be a light for me, O protector of my soul. Dismissed.